Hello, this is Brian McLean, and welcome to Our Story with God, episode 29, Passion. And today we're going to be talking about Jesus, the trial that he went through, and the death that he died on the cross. I would encourage you, as I did last week, there's a lot of meat in this story. So please read for yourself. Start out in Matthew 27, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 18 through 19. Earlier today, a co-worker of mine and I were discussing a movie that I had watched, and it was an historical movie, and so going into the movie, I knew how it was going to end, and it was the story of a man who decided to rebel against a leader that set himself up as a tyrant, and I knew this is not how this particular evil ruler met his fate. So I knew how the movie was going to end, but I told my coworker that as I was watching it, there were times that I just kind of wished the story would change, and I was kind of rooting against what I knew history would say. And so I'm curious, have you ever watched a movie and you say, well, I know what the outcome is, and it's a great story. I just wish it would end differently somehow, whether it's a boat sinking or a pet that doesn't make it or a hero that dies saving someone. Some tragedy occurs and you know it's coming, but you're just rooting that maybe this time things will be different. Maybe the end will change just this once. And that's sort of how we are at times every time Good Friday rolls around. So Holy Week comes to the church, and we remember this period that Jesus went through. And so last week we looked at the Last Supper and then Jesus's arrest. And so, as you know, Judas came and he brought this mob of people up to the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus had been praying, and they arrest Jesus. So after his arrest, Jesus is taken to the house of the high priest, the leader of the religious authorities for the Judean people. The Jews there, they have a high priest, but it's not really the same high priest that was supposed to be there according to Mosaic law. By this point in time, Rome has inserted themselves into the process. And they're sort of handpicking who they want to be the high priest. And so at this particular point in time, this is a man named Caiaphas. And so the whole process that Jesus goes through is highly irregular and also highly illegal. There are many rules, both Mosaic law rules and also rules just of the people themselves, that are broken in this process. And yet Jesus allows all of this to happen without objecting to it. So the only two comments that Jesus is recorded to have said to Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, this ruling body that's judging him, first, he says, "You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power." And second, when he's asked, "Are you the Son of God?" he replies, "You say that I am." So these two responses, he's not objecting, he's not complaining, he's really not saying a whole lot, but these two statements are good enough to get him the death penalty from these Jewish leaders. And so the Jewish authorities realize that they can't put someone to death, although there were certain cases where the Jews would have put people to death. But in this case, perhaps Jesus' popularity with the people made them want to involve the Romans so that he's actually killed by someone else's hand. And so the blood's not on their hands per se. So we'll never know exactly what their motivation was for involving the Romans and not taking the matter into their own hands. But once they were convinced that he deserved death, they shuttled him off to Pontius Pilate. And this guy, he's the regional authority under Rome. I mean, he probably never would have been remembered by history except for this particular time and place. And so Jesus was charged initially with claiming that he'd tear down the temple. This is what this illegal trial first got them around to is, okay, well, we finally got two people to agree that Jesus said he's going to tear down the temple. But he's not condemned on that charge. He's condemned on a second accusation of blasphemy based on the words that he speaks, which you're not really supposed to be able to testify against yourself. In America, we call that our Fifth Amendment right, the right against self-incrimination. A little different, obviously, back in the day. When they bring Jesus in front of the Roman authorities, they're not talking about the temple and they're not talking about blasphemy. Here, all of a sudden, this third crime pops up, and this is sedition against Rome. So all of a sudden, ulterior motives are being, you know, kind of hidden here, and we start seeing between the lines a little bit. And so the Jewish authorities are saying one thing when really they want something else. So Pilate clearly doesn't want to have anything to do with this. In fact, his wife even tries to keep him out of this mess based on a dream that she had. So Pilate initially, he says, well, let's try to reduce the sentence. Let's attempt to release him. Remember, release Jesus or Barabbas. So he's trying to do something. He even sends him over to Herod so that Herod can judge him, but then Herod sends Jesus back to Pilate. So there's this conversation between Pontius Pilate and Jesus, and it's really fascinating how the man who seems to have no control, this accused, beaten man, he's the one that sounds for all the world like he's the one in charge. And Jesus tells Pilate that he's a king, but not of this world. You can find that in John 18, 36 and 37. And he also knows that the regional authority of a governor is nothing compared to the universal authority that Jesus Christ himself professes. And you can see what he says about that in John 19, 11. But at long last, the mob is too much, and they're basically threatening to revolt and basically cause major political problems for Pontius Pilate. And so he relents and he allows an innocent man to be sent and condemned to his death. And so Jesus is led out of the city and he's hung on a cross. It was a very brutal, gruesome death that Jesus had to endure. The Romans were very good at what they did. They were very good at inflicting pain and making an example of people. And that's exactly what Jesus had to endure. So at some point in time in the afternoon, judging by what Mark 15:33 says, it was sometime between 3 p.m. and whenever the sun would have set that evening. After he'd been abused and beaten and mistreated, Jesus drew his final breath and died. And at one moment in history, it was the most terrible and the most glorious moment that we have ever experienced. The Creator and the King of all mankind was slain by those he created and loved. He accomplished the fulfillment of all Scripture had said would happen in that very moment. His death marked the darkest crime that humanity could have committed, but it was only through his willingness to accept that fate that allowed our sins to finally be paid for. He was that willing sacrifice. Their worst guilt actually opened the door for their salvation. And so for about 18 hours to 22 hours, sometime in that time frame, Jesus, from Friday afternoon until early Sunday morning, Jesus' body was in a sealed tomb. He was dead. And Roman soldiers stood guard, and all of heaven held its breath for a moment when Jesus would retake the stage. And so what I would encourage you to do, study the word, read Matthew 27, 51 through 54, see what happens the moment Jesus breathed his last breath. And then something to think about, the leaders who wanted Jesus to be killed, they seem to have been very interested in secrecy. So they had this overnight trial. They're showing up at the governor's house really early in the morning. How many people in and around Jerusalem do you think were actually aware of what had happened by the time that he died early that afternoon? So something fun to think about. Leave your comments. Again, thank you for listening. Love to hear from you.